Please do be seated. So the passage from Matthew this morning, and one which has been so abused over the years, have so many passages of scripture being abused over the years, which talk about punishment and eternal punishment and fire and the righteous being saved and the naughty ones being damned in all eternity. It's one of those passages which is, when you get into a pulpit, you can threaten people sometimes, you know, and some people will be threatened by people in pulpits, and it's been done for generations to frighten people who don't believe what the preacher is preaching about. And of course, the people who believe in the preacher are the sheep, and the people who don't believe what the preacher tells them, they're the goats. They're the ones who are all going to be burned. And it's really wicked. It's really wicked because it's often done by saying that the reason this is because Scripture says. It's because Scripture says. And actually, Scripture says something completely different. So this morning, we're going to knock all that nonsense on the head and actually ask what the passage is talking about when it talks about eternal punishment and righteous going to life and all the rest of it. In fact, it would make you wonder why anyone would want to go to heaven if you were there with a God and him or her actually wanted a load of people to be in eternal punishment. Why would you want to be with a monster like that? And why would we call that God? I have no idea. But there you go. The sheep and the goats. I mean, it's just as good as me saying, well, you know, all the Liverpool supporters are sheep and all the Everton supporters are goats. I mean, that's the kind of nonsense that we're talking about. And to listen to some people talk about eternal punishment and eternal life, you would think that they actually, you know, knew the mind of God in a way that beggars belief. Because when you read through the pages of Scripture, there is so much that contradicts each other about, you know, life and what happens when we die and all the rest of it. I mean, the largest group of Christians in the world believe that after you die, you go to some kind of purification process. So why on earth? And, you know, some parts of Scripture say when you die, you sleep. And some parts of Scripture say, and wait for the rapture when we all float up to the clouds. And some parts think you go to be with God. So we just don't know. We just don't know exactly what happens when we die or how God judges. Today, we get just a little bit of a glimpse into the kinds of things that God is really concerned about. And it's not whether you believe the same things as the preacher, not even me. So, let's look at what Jesus is talking about when he talks about the sheep and the goats. As a parent, you're not supposed to have favourites. Not supposed to have favourites. Not supposed to have a favourite child. A recent study found that at least 70% of parents do. Isn't that interesting? Guess which child is the favourite? No, it's actually the eldest one. Yeah. So, if you ask a parent, they'll deny it. But apparently, the way to catch them out is to say, "Can you show us the photos of your children?" And apparently, the eldest one always has this many. You know. You see, there you go. So, the Jews always believed that they were the favourite one. They were God's favourite one. That's what they believed. And their favourite one because God had chosen them. And you read passages like Ezekiel, and they would say that they were the sheep. They were the sheep, God's chosen sheep. And so, you know, separation at the end of time was easy. It was easy. All the Jews went on this side, and all the Gentiles went on that side. It was quite a simple separation. God's chosen lovely ones and the other ones. That's quite a straightforward sort of a way to separate people out. And when Jesus started speaking in this passage today, all the Jewish listeners would have all said, bang on. Because Jesus starts off, he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels, he sits on his throne, all the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Of course, shepherd, sheep, Israel, this is all sounding good. He'll put the sheep at his right hand, goats at his left, and the king will say to those at his right hand, so far, so good. It's all fine. It's all going well. But then it goes dramatically wrong. Because Jesus doesn't start separating people on the basis of their Jewishness. And that's why this passage would have come as such a surprise to those people who were listening to it. Remember this passage in Scripture. And that's why I say it's important to look at its context in Scripture, because those people who use this passage to say that Scripture is talking about eternal damnation for people who don't believe what I believe, you've got to look at it in context of the Scripture. This comes in Matthew 25, and for the whole of the previous weeks when we've been reading through Matthew, we've had lesson after lesson where Jesus is knocking it to the Jews. He's saying all kinds of things to them that would have really, really upset them. Do you remember the passage about the vineyard? I made a lovely vineyard, and I gave it, and I gave it, looked after, gave it to the tenants to look after, and they beat the prophets, and they beat his son, and all the rest of it, attacking them. Do you remember when he said to them, there was one son who said he would go, and he would do everything, and he didn't do it, and the other one said, this is an attack on the Jews. And the culmination of Jesus' attacks on the Jews are this passage here. And bingo, when we start off chapter 26... the first thing that happens in 26 is that the Jewish leader says, we've got to kill him. We've got to kill him. Because he's attacking Jewish. He's saying that it's not the case that all the Jews are going to be saved and everyone else is going to be goats. So we've got to stop this teaching. If you look at the parable of the wedding banquet, if you look about the parable of the tenants in the vineyard, if you look at how Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers, if you look at how he said the temple is going to be brought down one stone from another, you can see that this is all building up to this kind of passage today. And it's going to finish with that passage that we hear in the beginning of 26, where of course they want to put him to death. Who were the people who were invited to the wedding banquet who failed to show up? The Jews. Who were the hypocrites that Jesus talked about as whitewashed tombs? The Jewish leaders. I could go on and on and on. The point I want to make is that if you look at Scripture, it begins to make sense. And those people who go to Scripture to try and prove there is some kind of eternal damnation for those people who don't believe in the vicar, then you've got to understand this. You've got to understand it. Jesus has already said, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce fruit. So the image which Jesus used about the sheep and the goats is about an expectation for people to bring forth fruit. And guess what? The Jews are no longer going to be a favorite child. So who are the ones who are bringing forth fruit? And what is the fruit? Who are the people who Jesus really thinks are doing the right thing? Well, it's interesting. As I said that about favorites and parents having favorites. If you look at Scripture, you see that God actually does have favorites. And if you think about it, you can think who those favorites are. Who are God's favorite ones? Who are the ones that God really, really cares about? Just think about it. I was listening, I went on Sam's Be a Better Vicar course, and and I was listening to Adrian Plass, who's going to come and do a mini mission for us next year. We're going to have Adrian Plass come. He's going to do a special evening on the Saturday. He's going to preach for us on the Sunday morning, and we're all going to have a big dinner on the Sunday lunchtime after church. And we're going to have Adrian do three sessions with Bridget, his wife. They are absolutely superb. So put it in your diaries. I think it's 15th and 16th of September next year. So put it in your diary now, then you've got no excuse to miss it. It's going to be a great time. And we're going to link it with Back to Church Sunday to try and invite people along. Sorry, did I do that? That's Trump. See how careful we've got to be about influences around us. Don't hold your fingers like that. So put it in your diary. Adrian Plass was talking on the Be a Better Vicar course. And he said something which I found very profound. He said that as a parent, you're never happier than your least vulnerable and upset child. Now, I was thinking about that. Of course, if your children, it doesn't matter if you've got, if you've got two kids and one of them's miserable, you're not going to be happy. Because you always think about the one who's miserable or unhappy or in difficulty. And I was thinking about this. If you think who God's favorites are, and I've given you a little bit of time to think about it now, who are God's favorites? Thank you. Exactly. The favorites are exactly the ones who Jesus goes on to talk about in this reading. He talks about them. They're the hungry ones. They're the thirsty ones. They're the homeless ones, the strangers, those who are ill, those who are in prison. They are the ones that God cares about. And now we hear this, not just in this passage. This is a constant theme throughout the whole of the teachings of Jesus. That's how he spends his ministry with these people, because he cares about them. Jesus cares about the weak and the vulnerable. The most weak, the most vulnerable, those are the ones that God cares most about. Who are the sheep? Who are the sheep? The sheep are the ones who look after the vulnerable ones. The sheep, look, read it, read it, read it. The sheep aren't the ones who believe something. Now, you know, heaven and hell have been trotted out in Christendom as a means of getting people on board and threatening them. The teachings of heaven and hell owe more to Dante, medieval art and literature, than they do anything to do with the Bible. Anything to do with the Bible. Anything to do with the Bible. The sheep are not the ones who believe something. The sheep are the ones who go out and look after the thirsty ones. That's what Jesus is saying. Who are the ones who are going to be separated as sheep? The ones who looked after the thirsty, the ones who gave shelter to the homeless, the ones who welcomed the stranger, who served those who were ill, and who visited those who are in prison. That's how you get to be a sheep. It's not about creedal statements. It's not about, you know, what you say. It's about what you do. I blame Jesus half the time. Because, you know, no, he did. He really made it difficult for us because, you know, he said these things like, it's harder for a rich man to go into heaven than to go through the eye of a needle. Now, you know, that's just so, it's dualism. It's making things really, he said, if you don't behave, if your arm causes you to sin, chop it off. No, you know, he didn't mean these things, but he used them to great dramatic effect. And he used to use these opposites, this kind of teaching. So when he talks about eternal punishment and righteous life, we've got to put it all in the context of what he's talking about. But what Jesus is saying so clearly in this passage is if you want to really do what God wants you to do, if you want to get to a stage so that you needn't be embarrassed when you show up to meet him, then get on board with this teaching that I'm giving you. Care for the weak. Care for God's favorite ones. His favorite ones are the ones who are most troubled, who've got the least, who are vulnerable and afraid. And this is what being a Christian is all about. And we shouldn't be surprised because we've got a Messiah who was born in a stable. And seeking justice for the Christian isn't an option. That's our duty. Amen.